Hello and welcome to Our Spirited Life. We are here to engage and inspire you with conversation around real life issues. My guests share how they've created a truly successful and spirited life and their journey to reaching this, because it wasn't always an easy one. So today I am very well delighted to introduce Payman Lorenzo. I am blessed to have this man in my life. Payman, who so far has lived in 14 countries and speaks 6 languages, and you wouldn't believe when he starts talking that English is his second. Now, with his
fourth language.
Is your We'll learn all about that in a minute. With his sunny nature, wonderful smile, and huge generosity, Payman has been successful with his podcast titled Leaders with a Heart, and is totally authentic in this himself. But life wasn't always sunny and successful, and we're going to hear his story now. So Payman, welcome to Our Spirited Life. We're speaking online, so where in the world are you?
First of all, Susie, thank you so much for this beautiful introduction and for the honor of having me on your show.
My pleasure.
Currently, I'm based in beautiful Da Nang, Vietnam. Next week, I'll be in Malaysia, and after that, Thailand, and then back to Canada for a month for my birthday in October before returning back to Asia. So, yeah.
Okay. And will you come back to Da Nang? Because you're only a few minutes from the beach, aren't you? I know you've just come back from a long walk by the beach. Because is it evening there with you now?
Sorry?
Is it evening there with you now?
4 o'clock, 4 p.m. on a Thursday afternoon.
All right. Lovely.
And it's cloudy. And it's, let me tell you what's the temperature today. Right now it's 33 degrees. It was 35 earlier. Feels like, with a 70%, 62% humidity.
So very humid. Well, we're humid, but it's wet and rainy here and about 15 degrees in Cheltenham. Anyway, as I said, Payman, you have quite a story. And I have huge respect for both you, for your story, and for the open way in which you share it. So would you like to share your story and, you know, until there was the catalyst for the transformation? Because we'll go into that later. Would you care to share it now?
How far back do you want me to go?
I know from when you were in Paris that you had hit an all-time low. But actually, none of
Paris.
Us, or I don't...
Paris in Hong Kong. I grew up in France.
Okay, so let's just start. You grew up in Paris, and it was quite a transient family, wasn't it?
Let me tell you the full story from the beginning. So I was born in Afghanistan. My father was one of the first people back in Afghanistan to get a full scholarship for his undergrad and postgrad to study back in the 60s in France. He was a very successful geologist, archaeologist. And in 1979, when the Soviets invaded, I wasn't born. But as we all know, communists, they don't like intellectuals. So they were running the country to look for all the intellectuals to make them disappear. But thankfully for us, my father was working in France, and that was our literary ticket to freedom. I wrote in my first book how we actually left Afghanistan. That could be an entire episode just by itself. So I grew up in France, in the south of France, not in Paris, close to the Spanish border and the French Basque country. My family moved to Canada, and so when I moved to Canada, I learned 2 languages. I learned, first of all, English and Quebecois, which is the French they speak in Canada, especially in Quebec. And as soon as I could, and I was able on my own, I started traveling, first in South America, in Brazil, Argentina, and after that, Asia. I've been a nomad, an entrepreneur all my life. Mm-hmm. The 3 things about me that ever since I was a kid, I love helping people, inspiring people, and being a cheerleader for people to push them to go after their dreams. So before the pandemic, I was living in Hong Kong in China. I had a job offer I couldn't refuse as a football coach in China. I did that for 4 years. Then I was building a business around football, bringing professional teams from Europe and South America to China. It was fun, but at one time, it was not going anywhere, actually. Not anywhere at all. I literally ran out of money. And then at the same time, there was some tension between Canada and in China. So it wasn't a good time to be in China as a Canadian. So yeah. I left Hong Kong. As I said, I literally ran out of money. If it wasn't for a friend of mine that hosted me in Hong Kong for a year at his place for free, I living on the streets. I was living on $20 a week.
Wow.
Credit cards were canceled. My credit destroyed. I was surviving on instant noodles, bread, sardines, and the free tea and coffee that I was getting at the co-working space. I was spending most of my time. But it's funny because on one end, I was financially at my lowest, the brokest you can be. But then I was also very happy. I was hosting events. I was doing a lot of cool stuff. If you had met me in Hong Kong in 2019 or even in China in 2018 or 17, I was the guy with a three-piece suit with no money in my pocket. Nobody knew that. Only my buddy was hosting me and my sister, my older sister, my younger brother, my father, and my brother, my younger sister, and my father didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. So it's funny because on one hand, I was completely broke, but on another side, I was having a ball, having a blast, hosting events, speaking at events.
You were free. It was because you had a certain kind of freedom. There was nothing holding it. The only way was up.
No, yes, but also it's because, and that's the thing, it's because how is it possible? Because society tells us that we need money to be happier, and yet here I was, no money. So I didn't know back then, but then I realized, understood, how is that possible? And that's possible because true happiness doesn't come from external things. It doesn't come from money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. True happiness comes from within. Because here I was literally sleeping on a couch, surviving on whatever food I can get on my hands on, and yet I was having a great time. It was a massive impact. So that was the first thing. So then, at the start of the pandemic, I literally asked my friend to book me a ticket on Canada because it's another. I will never forget that day. Tuesday, the 25th of February of 2020, right at the start of the pandemic, landing in Toronto with only $200 to my name. It wasn't a good place to be, but I knew I could get out, but I had no idea how. And then at the same time, I was having my spiritual awakening, starting to realize a few things, such as life is a school, you come here to learn, grow, become better and wiser. But also nothing happens to you, but for you, and everything happens at the right, for a reason, at the right time. So at the same time, as I said, I was going through my spiritual awakening. The two things that really changed my life, even before podcasting, was understanding the tremendous power of question and asking the right question. Before, when something bad happened to me, I used to ask the wrong question, disempowering questions such as, why me? What did they do to deserve this? Why? And whine and complain. And when you whine and complain, nothing good comes out of it. Instead, what's happened is you're digging yourself in a much deeper hole. You're going down the path of a vicious negative circle. Then I learned to ask better questions, more empowering questions, different questions, such as, doesn't matter what you're going through life, ask yourself these two powerful questions. What is this trying to teach me? What is the lesson for me? Remember when I was in Hong Kong, completely broke, no money, yet happy? Again, looking back at that phase of my life with no money and happy, that taught me that, again, I don't need money to be happy. True happiness comes from.
Yeah, it does come. So what was there a moment, a single moment, thought or event, which was the catalyst from that transformation of going from why me to what's this trying to teach me?
I'm getting it. So, that was the first step for me to get out of this hole. The second step for me to understand and realize, to listen to my inner voice, my gut feeling, my instinct, my intuition, because that's your soul talking to you. And our soul, Susie, has two main purposes. One, protect you, keep you safe and alive. And two, guide you to the next phase of your journey. Let's say you're driving on a highway. All of a sudden, you get a voice or urge just to change lane. You change lane. Next thing you know, just in front of you, a car in front of you just rolls over. If you hadn't changed lane, you would have been in a bad accident.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen so many times. So listening to my inner voice, that completely changed my life. So let me give an exact moment to answer your question. Late July, early August 2020, having late lunch with family, completely broke, but completely disconnected from business, having lunch with family, an idea pops into my head. Start a podcast. What do you mean start a podcast? Weeks, So if you get an idea or something pops into your head once, that's your mind talking to you. But if it keeps on coming over and over and over again, that's your soul. Whatever you do, stop whatever you're doing. As long as it's safe, don't stop in the middle of the highway while driving.
Yeah.
Stop. Because again, and that voice can happen at any moment. You can be cooking, doing the dishes, taking a shower, sleeping in a business meeting. Doesn't matter what happens. But when it happens, stop what you're doing, as long as it's safe, and listen to it.
Listen to it, yeah.
Probably after weeks, from end of July to mid-October, right around the corner for my birthday, I finally launched my podcast in October of 2020. And unbeknownst to me, that was the single turning point, the greatest decision of my life so far, business-wise. Again, I did it at the time. And the third step that really allowed me to put all of this together and get out of this hole and this mess financially was understanding that business is not a numbers game. Sure, numbers matter, but ultimately, it's a relationship nurturing process. We do business with people who like, let, and trust. And as I've been sharing and teaching in my challenge over the past few days that I've been attending, business, especially high-tech at selling, is about one thing and one thing only, trust.
Yes.
How do you build trust? By building rapport. How do you build rapport? By speaking from the heart. How do you speak from the heart? By simply sharing your story. And what's the best way to do so? The podcast. So once I understood that, I started implementing that and putting the two other things together, asking better questions, listening to my inner voice, and leveraging my podcast, my tiny little podcast, as a platform to have heart-to-heart conversations with my prospect. At the time, I didn't know it, but they were my prospect because I didn't have any idea how to turn that into a business. So that turned, build trust, and eventually from trust, that turned into a business. So this is what really changed my life. Those three things. Again, asking better questions, listening to my inner voice, and understanding that it's all about trust. Actually, I just did a TED Talk 3 weeks ago on this very same topic. The title is The Wisdom Within. So
yes.
So I don't
and
know
actually, I think
but yeah.
Certainly, possibly more in the Western world at the moment, although good influence and education is coming. We've forgotten how to listen to our gut. We don't stop and listen. We're too busy thinking with our mind, but also we don't realize that our mind is in our whole body and a lot of our brain cells are in our gut. And so we've got to learn to listen and trust it. And so I'm fortunate enough to be attending your 5-day challenge this week. It's just an hour and a bit at 1 o'clock at lunchtime, my time. And I cannot tell you, listener, watcher, how incredible it is when you become the kind of person like Payman who is in the place he is now, attracts the most amazing people from all over the world. The energy, the joy, and the love on this week's challenge is amazing. And there are people who have been really subdued and suppressed who are opening up and being inspired. And it is hugely powerful. And I am loving doing my podcast, especially having people like Payman as guests and meeting people who I would normally, well, in the olden days, I would have gone, oh my goodness, they're too much for me. But now it's a sense of belonging because there's this community that's growing and we're all like-minded people. And yes, we are all heart-led. So I'm particularly interested in, because I've become known for it, for resilience. How much does resilience mean to you? Do you think you were born resilient, or did you have to dig deep to find resilience to get you through the bad times?
Great question. I would say a mix of both. I was always a fighter, a resilient, into so much crap. I've been to hell and back multiple times in my life.
Okay.
And I needed that. It's a matter of survival. So resilience for me, and also because I'm a very positive guy at the base, I don't get, one of my superpowers is I don't get stressed. Nothing stresses me.
Yeah.
And that at times can make me look like I'm completely disconnected. I'm a heartless bastard, asshole, but that couldn't be further from the truth because I'm a very empathic person. But because I don't get stressed, thing. I'm able to distance myself from all the stress. As a result of that, and because I'm very positive as a person, optimistic, I think being resilient is a byproduct of that, because I don't let anything get to me. Because the place I've been to, literally running out of money, not once, but twice, it takes, as I said, I've been in place in time where I was basically surviving on $20 a week, and yet I've been blessed to be in a place to making thousands of dollars and pounds in a day. So mm-hmm. I've seen both ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So now the lesson for me to learn is, hey, manage your money better, make better decisions, and don't go mm-hmm. again to that place. Because for me, my issue was right here, the false beliefs, the limiting beliefs and what the false story, the false narrative that was telling myself, oh, who are you? Who do you think you are? You're nobody.
And did that begin when you were a child?
I can't really, no, I grew up in a very nurturing, loving, caring environment. My parents were very, I'm the eldest child in the family, so I was very spoiled in every mm-hmm. aspect. And I was always, you know, pushed, encouraged in the right way. But somewhere along the line, I think something got lost. Nothing to do with family, just environment I was in, maybe in Canada, up in school and all that. I became very shy out mm-hmm. of nowhere. I used to be very outgoing. Growing up, so a little bit about me. You can find me in two places, either the library or on the football pitch.
Okay.
As a result of that, my only male friends were the guys I was playing football. But outside of that, I had no male friends, only female friends. So I was very mm-hmm. outgoing. But then mm-hmm. when I went to high school, university, especially moving to Canada, and seeing that my dream of becoming a professional football player was finished, that got me into depression. And as a result of that, I got very shy. I let myself go. I got fat.
Okay.
And myself think that I wasn't, they were not good for me, so, such as, mm-hmm. do you think you are? You're nobody. And that's where my extreme shyness came from. And this is something I have not shared with anyone else before, only with you, because you just brought that out of me. So you're very talented. You bring the right questions. Mm-hmm. You ask the right question to bring really the juices. So kudos mm-hmm. for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that's a bit
thank more. You. Thank you for sharing, because there is no vulnerability without courage, as Brené Brown would say. And you and I are storytellers and story sharers, and we do it to help others. And so we're not doing it to go, oh, look, poor little me, look what I've been through. It's actually to help others and learn from it. So your podcast, Leaders with a Heart, has been life-changing for you. It's a fabulous title, because you truly are a leader with a heart. How has the podcast changed your life?
Oh, my God. Without the podcast, I don't think I'll be here, literally in future. Okay. As I said, when I came back from Hong Kong, I was broke, I was depressed, desperate, lost, almost homeless. There's so many, I can't tell you how many days I would wake up without any desire to get out of bed, sleep back, myself to sleep. I was even at one time considering, hey, is this worth for me to keep fighting, or should I just check out, literally? Because nothing was working. When you know what to do, you have access to all the people that are very successful, but no matter what you try, it's not working. And then you wonder, what I'm missing? Is something wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
It's even more your mental, your belief in yourself, to the point of, hey, what I'm trying? Nothing is working. So this was, even before it changed my life financially, by me having all this amazing conversation with very heart-centered, successful entrepreneurs, hearing their stories of surviving, terminal cancer, losing it all, going to jail, actually going to jail, having to rebuild themselves, losing the family, the marriage, the house, the careers, the identity, and rebuilding themselves, then coming back and saying, you know what, my terminal cancer, my going to jail was the greatest blessing in my life. So what? How can you say that? But again, remember what I said earlier? The power of questions.
Teach me. What did we learn? So you call yourself, which you are, a connector, a collector, and a cheerleader. What does these three elements mean to you, and what do you collect?
I collect success stories. So when I meet someone, when I go to events, hey, Payman, nice to meet you. What do you do? My answer is not a podcaster, I'm a publisher, I'm a four-time number one international best-selling author, I'm a coach. None of that. I'm a TED speaker. No. My answer is I'm a collector. Oh, what do you collect? I collect success stories. I collect testimonials. Oh, what do you mean? Well, my business is about making my clients shine, brighter than shining, making them win. So what does that mean? Really, you know, hooked in. Because if you answer with the title of your job, whatever it is, pharmacist, accountant, doctor, whatever, you're automatically boxed and they can't wait to either end the conversation or or change the topic.
Yes.
Again, the number one currency in the world of business is attention. How do you catch someone's attention and how do you keep it? And also by focusing on the impact, not on the title of your job, the opening the floor for a much more meaningful conversation.
Yes, I love that.
Not only conversation, but also connection. Mm-hmm. As a boss, nice to meet you, an accountant. Okay, that's fine. And then see you.
Yeah, and the thing about connection, I once saw a TEDx talk. I will look up his name because he was talking about addiction. And he said the thing that addicts need is not another fix. It's what they're missing is connection. And that's why they turn. And obviously addicts often turn to whatever drug of choice to stop the pain because they don't want to hurt anymore. They're not, you know, so it's connection. And if they even had the pain, but they had connection with somebody, that would be so helpful to take them forward and out of that pain. So how do you do your cheerleading?
I'm the biggest cheerleader because I always love pushing people to go after their dreams. I'm always telling them, listen, you can do it. This is for you. Come on. I'm here for you. I believe in you. I cheer for you. Not only I'm cheering for you, God is cheering for you, your friends, family are cheering for you, but most importantly, your future clients are cheering for you. They're desperately waiting for you to step up so you can help change their lives and bring them the impact they're looking for. Think of it. All of these people are in the background cheering for you, expecting you to step up, to stop playing small, and to step up to the role that you're destined to reach in this lifetime.
Destined to be. I love that, Payman, because again, it's about keeping our heads below the parapet, not stepping up, not showing up, because we think, well, we're led to sort of think, well, who does she think she is? And actually, damn that, step up, show up, be there, stand tall and share your story, not to feel sorry for yourself. But as we said, story sharing is one way in which we learn and actually we become more compassionate and empathetic through listening to stories, which is why I love being a storyteller. And if I may borrow your introduction, I'm a collector because I love that. Can I? And at least we're the other side of the world. So when I tell it to people here.
Player and creator. Entire army of collectors of success stories around the world.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned your books. You are an author of no less than 4 number one international best-selling books. What are they about?
Great question. So the first two books are multi-authored books where I shared, where a bunch of people came together. We each wrote a chapter. The first contribution was me sharing the story of how my family left Afghanistan when I was a child. The second was about, that painful chapter of my life in Hong Kong and China running out of money. Then I did two books, which were, this is the first one of my own. This one was the end in September of 2022, so almost 2 years ago. This was the 2 years anniversary of my podcast and 200 episodes of my podcast. And the thing about this book is, what is your impact? How are you making the world a better place? So I invited a bunch of people from my podcast to come share their stories.
Oh, I love that.
This was the first one. And then the second one, which was released just earlier this year in January. This is to celebrate 3 years and 300th anniversary of my podcast. And this one, the theme is, what is your gift? And how are you sharing it around you and around the world? And again, I invited a bunch of people, I guess, from my podcast.
Yeah,
and they came and shared their story. So now I'm looking to write my own book. And guess what? These books They are another stream of income that podcasting blessed me with, because the people on the book, they each paid to be in the book.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Because I'm now going to say these two books, which you know about, are all also stories. They're anthologies of women sharing their stories to help other people. Mine's in the first one. But I think, again, and as you said, your book is a great business card. I share the PDF of my book. Do we find yours on Amazon, by the way? Mine are on Amazon. Are yours on Amazon?
Also, all proceeds from the sale of the books go to charity. I don't get I don't keep a penny.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's amazing.
These leaders might as well preach what I'm doing.
Have a heart. Yeah. I think it comes to the stage, and I'm really looking forward to that stage where I don't need to keep all the little bits of money that come in. I can give that. I want to work with women who suffer abuse and help them to step into their own power and stay there and never feel powerless again. That's my life purpose. And also to become mentally tough and resilient. But back to you. Of course, with a successful podcast as your business and passion, you could live anywhere in the world, Payman. So what brought you to beautiful Da Nang?
Well, I've been an expat for most of my adult life. I was born a family of travelers. And I've been living in Asia for a big chunk of the last 10 years. I was living in China and Hong Kong, the Philippines, and Malaysia last year. And I've always heard praises from people that I know about Vietnam, especially Da Nang. I came here last year for a visa run. I was living in Malaysia in September a year ago, and I literally fell in love with the beach, with the lifestyle, and I really loved it.
Fabulous. I know you're 10 minutes from the beach, aren't you? Which is, to be near water is wonderful. So you also mentioned, and I've watched it and been very moved by it, your first TEDx talk. What was it like being on stage for the first time?
It was, even though it was not my first time on stage, because I was hosting events in Hong Kong and China. I was invited to speak at events back then on e-commerce. I did events on wine tasting events because I love wine. I grew up in the south of France. So I did wine tasting in China. I did e-commerce events. So speaking in front of public, I did that before. But standing in front of a packed place with, 300-400 people, for me, it was a bit emotional. The thing that made it really hard for me, not hard, but challenging, was one thing I always say is never speak from a script, always speak from the heart.
I know, and that sort of scares me because I can't remember anything. And you did, though.
But listen, I almost get into an argument with the host of the TEDx talk because they wanted me to actually write a script and memorize it.
Okay.
No, I want to speak from my heart. He said, listen, at the end, they made me understand in a very polite way, if you want to speak, you need to have a script. So I said, okay, I need to choose my battles and get what they want. So I wrote the script, memorized it, but I saw Susie within 30 seconds of stepping on that stage. Guess what?
Blank. You forgot it. Yes.
And I was like, what I'm going to say? I said, you know what? Screw that. Let me speak from the heart, and I'm sure the structure at least is going to come back.
Yeah.
I just spoke from the heart. And I had slides. Even though I thought the slides would be more of a distraction than anything, because I had to turn around and change the slides, and that would
cut
me. But actually, the slides helped me to remember the structure. So I did a hybrid of speaking from the heart and the script. So at the end, all went well. So that was my only issue. But other than that, it was an incredible, incredible experience. I'm truly honored. But again, remember this opportunity literally fell from the sky on my lap. Because of my podcast.
Yes. I love your passion for podcasts. But also, we're coming to the close now, although we know we could talk all day. Really importantly, Payman, how do you relax, switch off, practice self-care? Because you must do.
Honestly, yes, I do. But because I love what I'm doing, I don't have to. I can wait. 5 o'clock in the morning, like an arrow. Before, when I was in corporate Canada, I struggled. I always was late. In school, my teachers, they stopped counting the days I was late. They were actually starting counting the days I was on time. And it was on time. Hey, what's wrong with you? Is everything okay? Literally. I was always struggled because I was, my heart wasn't in it.
My
purpose, my voice, ikigai, as a Japanese say. For me, it's, listen, talking to people, inspiring people, helping them identify the zone of genius so they can share their gifts to their own profitable podcast. I can do that all day long.
Yes. Yeah. For me, and you do.
You know, I called even my coach. I have a coach also for my challenges. They've been telling me since January, listen, your challenges are too long. 45 minute to 60 minute tops. Mine go over 2 hours. Like yesterday went over 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Love it. I love what I'm doing.
And you share so generously. You share so much. And this is the free one. I can't imagine, or I can imagine, what the academy would be like. Yeah. So finally, Payman, and I'm sad it's fine. Yes, go on. Go on.
So to answer your question, to relax, I love traveling.
Yeah.
I will be traveling this week, next week, Asia, and then Thailand, and then Hong Kong, and then Canada, and then back. Maybe in November, I either go to Argentina or go back to here to Asia. So yes, as we say in North America, work hard, play hard. You know, and because you work online, I have the blessing to be working online.
Yeah,
and the world is so beautiful. Go explore the world.
Yeah, stunning. Love that. The world is your oyster. Perhaps if you could repeat 3 top tips that you feel are really important to living a life of and thriving, whether it's business or personal, or both together.
Well, if I can, the first one would be careful what thoughts you entertain in your mind, because what you entertain, you speak, and when you speak, you manifest. This is not cheesy. This is absolutely true.
Yeah.
I've seen it time after time in my life. That's the first thing. Number 2, listen to your inner voice, that gut feeling, that unctuous.
Yes.
Number 3, ask better questions. Doesn't matter what you're going through. No matter how painful it is, whether it's addiction, betrayal, trauma, abuse, disease, tragedy. Doesn't matter what it is. Don't ask, what did I do to deserve this? Why? Instead, ask, what is this trying to teach me? What is the result to that?
Yeah. That will take some courage. Yeah.
Yes, it takes a lot of courage. But the moment you do that, the moment you understand this is not happening to you, but for you, it's a blessing in disguise. It's going to elevate not only at the soul level, but also in this physical 3D world. That's one. And the third one would be, there's so many, I don't know which one to start with first. Always be authentic. Speak from the heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. And it's also important to practice what you preach. So, Payman, have you chosen a piece of music for us?
For?
I asked to choose a piece of music. Does a piece of music just come to mind that lifts your spirits, that inspires you, and just makes you happy? Could be anything.
Oh, I love Latin music, Brazilian music.
Yeah.
Those always.
So that's that genre, Latin, Brazilian, because I guess it's actually quite, it's very happy and uplifting. Is it quite sensual? Makes you want to move?
Yes, yes. Makes me want to get out of your seat.
Okay.
Jump and smile. Because when you're in that state, when you want to dance, you cannot be sad. You cannot be stressed. You cannot be stuff.
Thank you. So how do we find you?
Find me on my YouTube channel, Leaders With A Heart, on Facebook. And I can send you my Facebook profile. You can share it on the social show notes.
Yeah.
These are the ways to find me. And if anyone is looking to and serious to see how they can leverage podcasting, get leads on demand.
Oh, which,
and they can go to my website, podcastleadschallenge.com. If you're in the UK/UK, if you're outside of the UK, North America, Australia, New Zealand, just .com, podcastleadschallenge.com. Process of finishing the September class. Today or tomorrow is going to be the last day.
Yeah.
The class is going to be in mid-October. So going to be run. Oh. We're going to make it even better because I have a lot of surprises for you guys.
Can I come on again then in October? Honestly, our audience, I would say, the joy, the Payman is so generous with his teaching, but he also makes it such fun. So if you found this episode enjoyable and inspiring, feel free to share it. And I have to ask, please remember to like and subscribe. Thank you. And Payman, thank you from the bottom of my heart for being you, for sharing, and for being part of my life. And I hope through this podcast that you'll become a part of many more people's lives. Thank you, Payman.
Thank you for the invitation. It means a lot. And I'm cheering for you. And I know you will succeed.
Thank you. Thank you.